a regenerated life in Christ. Father, we thank you for this moment, Lord, in time. Help us, Father, Lord, to receive from you as we lay our hearts bare on the altar. Lord, show us what it is that you need us to see and we can let go of so you can do the change and transformation you would love to bring out the best in us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Christianity. Okay, I was thinking about that today. I mean, this week. Christianity has a way of life, has a way to live, the way of think that can bring the best out of you. It's the best way to be. It's the best way to live your life. But you know, these days, if you look around social media, sometimes even in your own communities, it's confusing. Because in my opinion, there are people who are living as, you might say, pseudo-Christians in Christianity. And it's just really gotten things kind of confusing. What is being a Christian or what, you know, things like this. And then I thought about that. And I said, you know, I think it's because many people don't really know. When I say no, I mean experience, more than just head knowledge, but experience something. You could know that a fire will burn you, but if you've been really burned, then it's gone beyond no. It's you know. And I don't think people really, most people really know what the life of Christ is really about. Because see, God, the only God, He is the most alive being that exists. He's artistic. We can see it in His creation. He creates. He loves. He rejoices. He even sings. Turn your Bibles to Zephaniah 3 and 17. Zephaniah, I think that's how it's pronounced. 3 and 17. I was thinking about that. Wow, you know, God's artistic. He creates. He's so colorful. He loves. He rejoices. And He sings. Well, it says, "The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing." Have you ever just, especially those of us that's been married for, if you've been married for a while and you think back to the beginning, and those of you that are maybe just getting started in the dating and you just get that, you start getting kind of excited. You ever see, you know, you'd be singing away at work. I bet Frank did that. Singing away, whatever he was doing. You know, that was probably a quick day to get to the end of the day, to go home or whatever he's doing to see Esther. And I've done that at work with Amy. Couldn't, you know, first got married. I couldn't wait to get home, you know. And some of you get that, you know, it's like your children. And I could just think of all kind of relationships where you're kind of excited. And you'll catch yourself singing and doing things. God created love. He created fun. He created expression. He did it with many different colors. Man, there's so many colors. Now, I'm color deficient. That's what Lauren says I need to say. I always said colorblind because I just flat out can't see certain colors. She says, "No, Pastor, you're color deficient." He created so many colors and shades, and it's just... just looking at the sunset or the sunrise and looking around, looking at people, aren't we just, we're just full of expression, aren't we? Different colors, different styles of hair, different everything. I'm glad we're not all the same. I'd hate to be married to someone who looks just like me. That'd be weird. And the diversity of plants. I mean, I'm really big on, I just like scenery. I like to be able to see landscapes and some people can just go to your, you could pay them and they'll come to your yard and they can just make the most beautiful landscape. or to a business or whatever. You just like to see it every day. It's so beautiful. God created so many diversities of plants and animals just on this planet, all alone, just on this planet. There's diversity. God is so amazing. But on the other side of the coin, there's evil. And it's just the opposite. Not only is it, there's two different words for evil in the Bible. It often is used as either useless or worthless. Think about that, or hurtful, or whatever. But it's like, it's sickness, it's suffering, it's hurt, it's chaos. And then I was thinking on that merit, and I was thinking of Satan. He took something innocent, something beautiful that God had made. He said he made humanity. He made them diverse, male and female, two different expressions of God. He said he created them. And Satan took something that was innocent and he mutated it. He mutated humanity into ugliness. Don't we do some terrible things to ourselves and to each other and have? We are functioning so far less from our potential. It's sad. His philosophy has led us into nothing but a broken life, confusion, physical problems, mental problems, spiritual pain, and agony, while keeping us all blind to it. Most of us are not even aware of how bad our life is, how much we've suffered. He's got us all confused that we think the life that we have been living outside of Christ is what we want. Called self-focus. He tricks us into, even the Christians sometimes, he'll trick us into thinking, he'll convince us that we want to be self-focused in this moment that we're having with someone. What happens when you focus on self? You will always eventually hurt the person you care about and ultimately yourself. And he has convinced us that's what we want. You know that when you get ready to just to tell off that person you love, you just want to let them have it. Let that anger just come out of you because it feels good to release it. I remember what it feels like just to tell someone off. You get that momentary release of like, yeah. He convinced me that that's what I want. But what did it do? It destroyed my relationships with others, with God, and with the person in the mirror. I want to talk to you today about being alive in my life, in your life, as possible as we possibly can be. And it's called a regenerated life. God has an answer to get there. A regenerated life of Christ is what we need. And Christians are not exceptions to problems when we have wrong thinking. It's not going to be too long of a sermon this morning, but I just want you to think about some of the things I want to mention. I want to talk about number one, is that God has an answer. He has a way, and it is called a regenerated life in Christ. A regenerated life in Christ is powerful. It is fully aware of where it is at. It's expressive. It's enjoyable. And nowadays, that's pretty unique to be able to actually have problems, struggle with things, have shortcomings, but yet enjoy your life. I got all kinds of problems sometimes, but I enjoy my life. You know, I don't have all the money that I would like to have. Don't drive the nicest car I'd like to have, but I feel good about my life, right? I feel good about where I'm at. I don't plan on staying where I'm at in Christ, but I feel good about where I'm at. I feel good about how far God's brought me. And I'm just so excited about where he's going to take me. And you can experience a powerful life. I mean, fully aware. Do you know that one of the most fearful things is to not know where you are at? Because how can you ever be the best that you want to be if you don't even know where to start? Because you don't know where you're at. Most people don't live a life of happiness and fulfillment and get the best from life. Most people don't. We know this is true because the Bible says, wide is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to happiness, fulfillment, success. And it says, few find it. So we know a lot of people don't. Not to mention my 50-plus years experience sees it for itself. Our lives are full of scars. And we're always reaching. You ever felt that way? Always reaching. Always reaching. You're always reaching for that fulfillment and that peace. But it's just, you ever just drop something under the couch or on the floor and the table and you're reaching under there and it's just, you could touch it with your fingers almost. And every time you touch it, it rolls a little further away. Isn't that the most frustrating thing in the world? Drive you nuts? You know, it's like right there. To me, that's how I feel when I've been that close to fulfillment. It's just right there. Success is just right there. And every time I almost can touch it, it moves. That's the most frustrating experience. That's called life without Christ. And there's nothing, and what's the second most frustrating thing in the world is when you finally grab a hold of it and it's not what you were reaching for. You know, you're like, what? Dirty old sock or something. You were reaching back underneath there for that penny or that money or whatever it is, your remote control. But see, that's what we do in life. We're reaching for that fulfillment, that happiness. It's almost here. We almost got it. And if you do think you got it and you grab it, you're like, what in the world? Dirty old stinky sock. You missed it. Sin. The original language, it basically means you missed the mark. You missed the mark of being what God intended you to be. God intended every person to be their best. He intended this life to be the best experience you can have. But we've all really missed that mark. When you are the less than your best, you are hurtful in some way. God intended for you to be the best you, to have the best life, and to be able to give back the best for other people. But we fall so far short of that, seems like, all the time. God is about the zesto of life. I like that word, zesto. Sounds kind of cool coming off the lips. Zesto of life. Every experience in this life through Christ, you can get the best out of it. But you can't get there by just reading the Word, just going to church, just listening to sermon CDs, and just praying, and just sounding holy. You know what I mean by that? I don't know what else to put there, but, you know, sometimes I envy people because they've got those poetic holy prayers. I'm not very good at it. God always knows when I'm the one talking to somebody. Yo, God, it's me. I had a friend of mine, I'm not going to mention his name, but I envied that guy. That guy could pray. He could say a prayer that you just want you to close your eye. You just didn't mind listening to it. You know, when I was 16 years old, I've told this before, but I was 16 years old, and I was asked by the pastor to get up here and say prayer. We were praying over the communion, and I have having a heart attack even be up here in the first place. And then he had to stand me next to my friend who could really pray. You talking about some pressure. That guy could just pray. I mean, he was praying over the Lord's, I guess you call it the blood, whatever. You know what I'm talking about, the drink. And I thought, oh, man. And I was stressing out so bad I couldn't even, my brain just shut down. And then the pastor says, okay, let's pray for the body. And that's what I had in my hands. And all I could squeak out was, thank you for the crackers. And then I really felt bad because I thought, what? Did I just say that? You know, and the pastor opened one eye up, looked at me and said, that'll do. So good thing God's expectations of me wasn't very high back then. Praise the Lord. But it's not, these things are helpful. It's important to go to church. It's important to fellowship with the right people in Christ. It's important to read your Bible, listen to sermons, and study and take things in. Those are important. But that it takes a specific way to get there. Because God created you and I to think like Him, to talk like Him, to express like Him, and experience like Him. And He did not create us to do anything other than that. God created you with a mind. Humanity has an awesome mind. It's our administrator of our body. Sometimes I want to fire mine. But that administrator, that body, is, you know, it has, we have a body that has millions of nerves and cells and chemicals to express an experience from the Spirit. And that is to express God's image to those into the world. If God is our source, then your ability, physically, mentally, and spiritually, are limitless. And if God is our source, you can experience the ultimate richness of life. This is the way that God is offering for us. It's a way to think. It starts with the thinking to get back on track, because that's how we got off track, was the way that we thought. Adam and Eve started thinking in a different way. God created them to think the way He does, to express the way He does, what I just mentioned to you, do all the things that He does, because He put His part of His Spirit in them. And what they started doing was they made a decision to think through self. Self-perspective, self-points of view, self-thoughts, self-pattern of thinking, and man, it's been downhill ever since. That's been one big long hill, down, 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 and it's just gotten worse. But then Christ came along, He gave us an opportunity. God wants to regenerate that life that's within you. A regenerated life of Christ, a Christian, it begins at salvation. Pretty simple, we need to realize that. That's where it starts. We have a natural process that starts within us on salvation. And you all, it spurs up inside you this life. And you want to do right. Most people that I know that get saved, they want to do right. I mean, that's how come I came to God, because I'm doing everything wrong. I want to do right. And I had sometimes we call it honeymoon spirit. We get all excited. We're going to be the best husband, best this, best that. And we get on down the road. But one thing I did learn is that when you start your journey, depending upon where your thinking's at, because I looked at my brothers and sisters, you might be me, I don't know, and some of them, we all got some, you know, different saved, you know, and some of them just kind of started pretty good right off the bat. And I was like that horse in the stalls, ready. It's my turn, I'm getting saved, I got saved, and first thing I did was trip and fell flat on my face. And then tripped, then tripped, then tripped, then tripped, then tripped, then tripped, then tripped. Call after call from the pastor. Well, it's, you know, depending on where your thinking's at, it affects sometimes how you get started. But the exciting thing that I didn't take advantage or did not understand in the moment, that didn't matter, because God was smarter than me. When God accepted me, He accepted me right where I was at, cracks and mess up and stinkiness and all. And He had a plan for me, a plan for you. See, the way that you think can either enhance your experience in Christ, or it will hinder your experience in Christ. You start out growing spiritually right at salvation. You start your journey of Christ. You're getting headed on you finally got on the right journey. Okay? We've all been there in this room anyway. But we need to understand that now we're on this journey, there's going to come times that you will be resistant to your growth. Now, some of us have been going on this journey for a while. We need to remind ourselves what's going on inside of us. Sometimes you're not, because see, it's not like that stops. You get all the resistance out in the early stages. It's kind of it's a progressive thing, because we're an onion. God peels you and peels you. You ever peeled an onion? The bigger the onion, the longer it takes, you know? And if you're one of those big onions like I used to buy in Alaska, they were huge, man. because the sun stayed up for longer periods of time. And that was me. I was a big giant onion, so that's why I did so much crying. You know, me and God crying as we was cutting it, as he was peeling that onion off. As he was peeling me open, man, we were crying together because all the aroma of my wrong thinking was coming out. But he was right there with me. But see, I didn't always want to be used in the way that God wanted. I didn't always want to have that pill taken back. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. But that's okay. You're not going to always, you're going to be sometimes resistant, but hey, God's got a plan. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose in you. I added the in you because that's what the context is. God's responsibility is to help you with this resistance. He's going to help you. See, but sometimes we have, you ever had this feeling in these thoughts that compete with your successful thoughts? You want to do right, you want to do this, but then you have these other thoughts. Well, you've got, we need, ladies and gentlemen, no matter how long you've been saved, you got to remind yourself when you have these resistant thoughts, is what I call them. It's just, if I can pronounce the word, it's just residual thinking patterns from your old life. You know what I mean by residual? It's just kind of there, you know? But it's not you. It doesn't have to be you. Your responsibility is to nurture your regenerated spirit that God's given inside of you. And sometimes nurturing is way more than just listening to sermon CDs or going to church or talking to people or doing these things. Sometimes nurturing that spirit is grabbing a hold of those wrong thoughts in that moment and saying, no, this is not of God. Because the Bible says to think this way. Pastor said that in the Bible says to think this way. So I'm going to decide right now to think this way. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it. And if you have a stubborn subconscious mind like I have, you may have to do that 100 times a day. Keep on saying, no, I rebuke you, flesh. I rebuke you, self. No, this is what the Bible says, and this is where my commitment will be, to learn to think right, to think the right thoughts. So we're going to have to examine ourselves. We're going to have to learn to think correctly with truth. We're going to have to agree with that truth. So you have to agree with truth. Amen. When someone, God's going to use a vessel. I know we don't always like this. God's going to use a vessel to help you. You say, God, speak to me. So then Brother Frank shows up at the door. Joe, I need to talk to you about your attitude. Frank, I don't have time for you because I'm waiting for God to speak to me. Frank, of course, Frank be like, praise God, because he told me to show up here and tell you something. You're like, God, I don't like that mailman. I don't like that mail person. You know, we have these feelings, right? But God's going to use vessels to bring, sometimes he's going to tell you, your attitude stinks, Joe. I need to agree with that truth. Yes, it does. Now, what am I going to do about it? Well, I'm going to apply the truth. And that is, yes, it's true, but this is what I need to do to align up with that truth. Because agreeing with it is more than just the verbal communication. Agreeing is a verb. You got to, something you got to do to go right into apply it. Amen? Your decisions affect the natural process that God is trying to do inside you. God is trying to do something, bring about the natural process that's flowing in you. But we, like I said before, how we think hinders it or enhances it. Number three. That was number two. If I could say the word number two, was a regenerated life of Christ. What he's trying to do inside you. I'm bringing these things up because even though you've been a Christian a long time, Satan trips us up in the simple things. Why does he have to come up with a new idea when the old one works just great? You know. Yes. Okay. Let me turn my page back. Number one was God has the answer. He has a way. And that is a regenerate life in Christ. And number two is the regenerate life of Christ, a Christian, begins at your salvation. And then I point out what you're focused, what you're looking for, what's going on in there. And number three is even thinking wrong. Thinking wrong as a Christian will cause you pressure, and it's going to cause you problems. We're not exempt from those things. I used to think, being a Christian, I'm inside of a bubble. Somehow everything's going to be all right because I got the Father behind me. You know, it's not how it works. For a Christian, pressure is an indicator. Problems are an indicator. What is it trying to indicate to me? Well, I need to self-examine. I need to go back and take another look at my life. I need to look at what's going on between these 6 inches of these ears, because I got a lot going on up here, even though it's only 6 inches. I need to think about what's going on inside my mind. Have you ever gone through your day and then, you know, you're thinking, you don't even remember what happened the first half of the day? You've been that daydreamy, you know? I remember getting off from work from on the east side of town, driving to the west, got these thoughts of mine, things I got to do, or this or that. And then I'm at the church going, what in the world am I doing here? I don't even remember driving here. That's kind of scary. To drive 3 miles across town and don't remember any bit of it. I was like, man, the police car's going to show up? Did I run somebody over? What happened? We do that. We live our life without even taking time to think about what we're thinking, about what's going on up in our mind. We will entertain an entire movie in our mind and don't even remember it, or don't even take the time to see what it is I'm listening to or what I'm thinking about. We need to take the time to see, hey, wait a minute, have I gotten off course in Christ? Is my thoughts the way what thoughts Christ would be thinking about? Because, see, in my thinking patterns, I may be living harmful to my well-being. Are your thoughts harmful to your well-being? Am I making decisions against my spiritual well-being? Have I hurt myself? I need to know this so I can make better decisions. I can make a decision to change if I know I'm doing it. I need to know what I'm thinking about. Am I thinking about things that affect me and ignore how what I'm thinking is maybe affecting or hurting someone else? Am I getting through to you? We need to think about, am I hurting my own spiritual being by what's going on inside my mind? Oftentimes, you might find out yes. Then you need to make a decision and change it. God's going to do the work to heal you, but you have a responsibility, and that is to make decisions that don't work against what he's doing. See, God's doing the work within you. I'd quote you a scripture, how he's doing the work. But we can, you know, close them doors and make it hard on God to get it done. So we need to decide to do right, to learn and agree with truth that he shows us. And I want to leave you with some scriptures. Some of the way that you need to do this, to do right, to learn, I want to do right. I want to learn. I want to agree to the truth that he shows me, however he shows me, okay? Well, one of the things you got to do, one of the things that helps in that direction is, let's turn to John 3:15. John 3:15 says that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. The word believes there, that means to trust. We need to trust God. Make a decision to trust in God. You don't have to always understand what's happening to you. You don't have to always understand anything. It does not have to make sense to you for you to trust the greatest being in the universe, the one who created you, who's done so much for you. You don't have to always understand everything, you know. But you can make a decision to trust. Okay, God's been there for me. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to make that decision. How about John chapter 10, verse 27 through 23? John 10, 27 through 39. John 10, 27 through 29. I keep on throwing 30 in there. I don't know where that's coming from. See, God is more powerful than your failure or mine. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they will follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Awesome. I've heard that scripture quoted from many different points of view, but I feel like what God's telling us this morning is that your failure cannot keep me from bringing out the best in you. Your failure cannot hold me back. I've got a plan. I've got a way. We got to stand on the scriptures when we need it. Another one. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 9. God is faithful, and he is able to make you stand through whatever you're going through. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is capable of making you stand. Ephesians 1 and 13. I'm almost to the end here. Ephesians 1 and 13. You are sealed, and that means God is putting his power in you to succeed. That seal means, boom, God's going to put his stamp on you. And if he's going to put a stamp on you, he's going to make this good quality. Because God's not going to put his stamp on something unless it has some good quality. Because God's about quality. He's not a buffet. Like when my wife says, I don't know if this buffet's that good. And me, I'm like, okay, I don't care as long as it's quality. I mean, no, not quality, but quantity. But that's not God. God's like, I'm not eating here unless it's some good food. I want to build the best. So I'm put my stamp on it. This is my daughter. This is my son. Here's what it says. You also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal and the promise, the Holy Spirit. We need to stand on these things. One last scripture, Philippians 1 and 6. Philippians 1 and 6. God finishes what he starts. As long as you stay on that journey, he will finish what he starts in you. Amen. You've got to stay on the journey, though. Ephesians 1, 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a work in you will carry it out unto the completion, unto the day of Christ Jesus. We need to be living a regenerated life in Christ. And God has the only way to have that regenerate life, to be able to live life in its best. And our decisions will enhance or hinder the natural process that God is doing. So let's enhance it by cooperating. Amen. And don't fear pressure. Pressure is an indicator. Self-evaluation is precious. It's not something to be afraid of. It's something to embrace. Because it's the only way we're going to get where we want to be, is to know where we're at. I appreciate you being with us here today. If you ever have any questions or comments, it's okay. You can message me about the sermons to our Facebook page there here at the Christian Church and Academy, and I will answer as quickly as possible. Thank you. We hope you have a Merry Christmas as it's getting closer and closer. And be with us here next Sunday at 11 a.m. God bless you. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay, Elijah, are you capable of throwing that up there? While he's doing that, I got a couple announcements. Christmas fellowship next Sunday at between 9 and 10. We're going to have some drinks and snacks. Wouldn't mind if you want to bring some snack to add to what we're going to have. That'd be great. If you want to bring some sugar-free and or sugar, because I don't know how many people drink whatever creamer, feel free, because you might not like the ones that I bring. So we'll see you between 9 and 10, you know. So, and we're going to put everything away at 10. That's an incentive to be here between 9 and 10. Praise the Lord. He's going to cast something that, this is going to be from Steve and Lorraine. It's only just not very long. If we can get the cast, I could not figure it out. What? Hang on. What? Brent's birthday is on the 15th. Woohoo! He's number 50. He said that's a rumor started by his wife and his mom. Lindsay's on the 18th. Lindsay! Is it working yet? If we can't get it to work, then I did put it on the church face page. You won't look at it. It's just a Christmas greeting, but they was hoping we could get it to work. But the way that they uploaded it, I could not get it to cast. So thought maybe Elijah might know a little trick that I don't. Huh? We'll see what he does here. And also, we're gonna have a lot of specials next week. Same way. Yeah, I'll have a message. And there's still going to be singing, though, but... Or he's going, oh, you're just going to find it on YouTube. Yeah, cats are funny, aren't they? Cats are hilarious. I like cats more than dogs. I don't have either, but if I had one, it'd be a cat.
Some of you are talking.